Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. Good to see you today. So, make sure you get root beer after the service. And for those of you who know, we celebrated a pretty amazing milestone in our city today, this past weekend. We had Grandma's Marathon, the 50th anniversary of Grandma's Marathon. Who ran the race? How many? Way to go. Good job. Well done. That is amazing. Do they serve root beer during the race? Do they do that? No, probably not. I don't know what they serve, but it's because I'm not a runner. I'm not a runner. I admit that. I tried doing long distance in junior high. My coaches thought, like, because I was tall and lanky, you'd be a good long distance runner, and it was not my thing at all. Did not like it. In fact, this past week, I was sitting around the campfire with my wife, my older son, and one of his friends, and they were talking about running track in high school, and they were talking about all their stories and their amazing feats, and then I was like, I'm going to join in on this conversation. I said, I ran track too. And everybody just stopped. Dead silence. And Hannah looked at me, and she's like, no, you didn't. I'm like, yes, I did. Contrary to what you see in me right now, I ran track. I ran the 100 meter one time. One time, and then my coach put me on discus. I'm not a runner. My type of running was the basketball courts, the baseball diamonds. I don't run. I don't jog. I walk. I walk. I like to walk. I like to do that. So because I don't run, I needed to do a little bit of research on marathons a little bit. So I went to runnersworld.com and I learned a little bit. There was an interesting fact here. Again, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I'm just trusting what Runner's World is telling me. Apparently, for many runners, not all runners, but for many runners, there comes a moment in the marathon known as hitting the wall. And so this usually happens somewhere around mile between 18 and 20, where the body just runs out of energy. The legs are screaming, starving for fuel, and then, you know, everything inside of you is like, I'm not going to make it. I can't make it. I can't do this. But you have to jump over the, you know, get through those mental hurdles. I got to keep going. Got to keep going. I can do this. I can do this. But your pace may start to slow. So runners running this race, they can hit a wall sometimes. And for those of us who are, all of us, running this race of life, there are times in our lives where we may hit a wall as well because we are running away from something or maybe running towards something that we shouldn't be running towards. And so in today's message, we're going to be looking at a story in Luke chapter 15. It's known as the parable of the lost son or parable of the prodigal son. Some of us like to call it the parable of the prodigal father. But in this story, we actually meet three runners. We have the younger son who is running away from home. We have an older son who is running inwardly. He's running in towards bitterness and resentment. And then we have this dad who's running towards both of his kids. And so today my hope is that on this Father's Day, that each and every one of us, that we would not just hear about the Father, we sang about the Father, that was great, we sing about him, but that we would see in this story, we'd hear in this story, but that we would also experience the heart of God, that we would experience the love of the prodigal father, our heavenly father, the love that he wants to lavish on each one of his kids. Because no matter where you're at in this race of life, okay, the Father is pursuing you. The Father is running towards you. No matter how young you are, how old you are, the Father is running after you. No matter how far you feel from God right now or how near you are, he is pursuing. And so he's running towards all of us today, his kids. So let's pray and we'll dive into the word a little bit here. Yeah, Father God, happy Father's Day. Lord, we look to you, we praise you as our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Daddy, our Papa. Lord, we wouldn't be here without you. You're the one who thought of us. You are the one who created us, and you are the one who created us in this moment of history to exist, to experience your love, to feel your love, to share your love. And Lord, I pray right now, each and every one of us, no matter where we're at with you, that we would experience more of your love. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you continue to come and fill this space with your presence, with the Father's love, and would you just open our hearts to receive from you this morning? Amen. All right, so Luke chapter 15, if you want to follow along, we're going to begin with verse 11. That's found on page 714 in the Bibles and the seats in front of you, below there, if you want to follow along. Here's what we read. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he asked one of the servants, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied. 'And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So let's spend some time looking at the two sons before we get to the father. Son number one, the younger son. We need fuel to run a race. What is he? What fuel is he running on in this, the race of life? He's running on pleasure, the pursuit of pleasure, self-gratification. He's like, "I'm out of here." Doesn't say why he wants to leave dad's house. We don't know, but apparently he just wanted nothing to do with dad. I remember when I was 17 or 18. Any of us remember that? Like, things in my house were pretty good. But there was just something in me. He's like, "I need to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I want to be my own man. I want freedom. I got to get out." And so we don't know the details of why he wanted to leave, but can we catch the tone in his heart posture towards his dad? What does he say? "Give me. Give me my share of the estate." Now, I'm trying to train my 3.5-year-old to learn how to say please, okay? The son doesn't ask. He demands. He demands from his dad. And in that culture, what the son was essentially saying to his dad was like, "Dad, you're dead to me. I'm not going to wait for you to pass. I want my inheritance now." He wanted dad's benefits without dad. He was taking dad's grace, his generosity, for granted. He was abusing that. The son wanted freedom. Isn't it interesting in this text how the father, we don't see the father questioning him, we don't see the father pleading, he just gave him what he wanted. The son wanted freedom, or at least what he thought would be freedom. You know, sin always markets itself as freedom, always. Freedom from boundaries, freedom from accountability, freedom from restraint. What does the world tell us? Do your own thing, run your own race, follow your own heart, do whatever makes you happy. It's your life. Go and live it. And he buys the lie. Have you ever bought that lie? I have. More than once, more than twice, many times. When one of the greatest lies that Satan tempts us to believe is that I'm better off on my own. I don't need anybody. I can do this on my own. That's what he wants to do. He wants to isolate us. He's like a lion just circling around, waiting to steal, kill, and destroy, to devour us, those of us who wander from home, that run from home, run from family, run from friends and community. The young son's plans look really amazing to himself. He has the money, he's got freedom, he's got adventure, no rules, he doesn't have dad looking over his shoulder. But eventually that race catches up with him, doesn't it? The money's gone, the friends are gone, and what happens? This famine comes across the whole country. And then he finds himself feeding pigs. Now this would have been really shocking to the Jewish audience that Jesus was speaking to. Like, this guy couldn't have gone any lower in life to be a pig farmer. But I also want us to notice, too, what happened here. The son was running after the world, right? And so he didn't receive any grace. He hasn't received any mercy. He hasn't received any favor from the thing that he was running after. The freedom that he ran after actually enslaved him. That's how sin works. The thing we think will satisfy us begins to eventually master us. As the great prophet Bob Dylan says, you're gonna serve somebody. Maybe the devil, maybe the Lord, you're gonna serve somebody. Some of us know what this is like. So what are those things in our lives that we are maybe enslaved to, that we've been running to? What the world promises as freedom or an escape becomes like a chain to us. Maybe an addiction in our lives. Maybe we're running towards money or sex or drugs, alcohol or medications. 1 John 2 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. But maybe things that we're running to aren't as obvious as his son's wild living. Maybe our distant country, the things that we're running to, is something that we use to distract ourselves, to avoid realities in our lives. Or maybe even running from God, where God's trying to poke on your shoulder or highlight things to you. He's trying to help you or to bring healing to your life, and we're like, no. Diversions. Maybe we do things like we're really busy. We're busybodies. We're busy doing anything and everything, and we're not taking time to slow down to hear the Father's voice and to allow him to come near to us. Maybe we're spending money on things that we think will bring happiness. Maybe we're doom scrolling every night for hours just to numb, just to zone out. Maybe for some of us it's food. Maybe some of us, like me, it's entertainment. The Lord's been working on me lately. He's poking me. He's like, why do you have to binge watch Antique Roadshow and American Pickers? What are you running from? What are you running from? I'm like, I'm tired. I just want my brain to shut off. He's like, let's talk about that. Let's figure this out. How can I help you in this? Why do you have to run to this? It's not wrong. It's not necessarily bad, but God has something better for me in that. So where are we trying to fill voids in our lives that God is meant to fill? Or who or what are we running towards instead of God? Or what are some of the chains in our lives that we're trying to break free from? Like, life is exhausting enough, right? But when we're running, that adds to the exhaustion. And maybe today, like the younger son, maybe the Holy Spirit is like, hey, he wants to bring something to our attention. Maybe today the gift to us is to come to our senses and be like the younger son is like, oh, my Father. I'm going to go back to my Father today. I'm going to see what he has for me here. I'm going to trust him in that. Let's go to the older son. So the older son, he's running around, he's trying to prove himself, he's performing, he's trying to earn. This guy's at home, he's with dad. But what do we see here? He seems to be just as lost, if not more. What's his fuel? What is he running on? The performance, the earning, the proving. He's the dutiful, hardworking, rule-following, probably firstborn son. That was me. That was me, the oldest of my siblings. And then he hears this celebration going on for the younger son. But oh no, he's not going to recognize him as his brother. What did he say? This son of yours. He wanted nothing to do with his brother here. The older son could not believe what the father was doing. He would not accept it. Now, can you hear his heart posture and how he talked to his father? What did he say? All these years, I've been slaving for you. Catch that. The younger son didn't find himself worthy to be the father's son. He's like, I'm going to make myself a servant. And here, the son who's with the father didn't see him any more than a son. He saw himself as a servant as well. The younger son's problem was rebellion. The older son's problem was religion. And the older son just didn't understand the father's love. He didn't understand the father's kindness and how he wants to lavish it upon all his sons and daughters. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. God's essentially saying, nothing you can say or do will grow or lessen my love for you. Look, I grew up in the church. I grew up misunderstanding God's love and grace for me. I performed to be accepted by my parents, by others, even by God. I told myself, if I work harder, try harder, if I'm good enough, I'll be loved more. I'll be accepted more. What did I find? Nope, not true. The truth is, I could never earn what the Father had already freely given me. And it wasn't until my 30s that I began to realize just how exhausted I was trying to earn the love and prove myself to God. I realized that there was just nothing I could do to be loved anymore. And maybe some of us know that exhaustion. Maybe some of us here today, you love Jesus, you serve, you give, you do all the things. And then you still wonder, is it enough? Am I enough? Am I doing enough? Does God notice what I'm doing for him? Does anyone notice what I'm doing? Does God really delight in me without the stuff that I'm doing? I had to give up. I gave up because I was so tired of trying harder. I had to surrender and I had to fall into the loving arms of my Father. I had to trust him that he truly does delight in me regardless of what I do. And I found such healing and freedom and peace in my life when I finally realized that, when I finally gave up and surrendered and turned back to my Father and believed him. Now, I'm still not perfect at it. Like, I can still get into the performance mode, the people-pleasing mode, all those kinds of things. But I function more out of being my Father's beloved son. That is the fuel of my life now. That is the fuel of my life. The older son couldn't celebrate because he misunderstood the Father's heart. And when we misunderstand, we start to compare, we start to judge, we start to resent, or maybe even keep score. Romans 2 says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? It's for all of us, both near and far. And that's why Jesus is telling this story to his hearers. The religious leaders that were listening to this story, they're going around, they couldn't understand, nor would they accept why Jesus would welcome sinners. Why is this Jesus guy eating and drinking with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with drunks, with addicts, and whatever? They could not accept that. They didn't understand the Father's heart. God's heart is for those near and far, for all of us. Jesus didn't come just to save us from our sins, but to reveal the Heavenly Father to us. As Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, how are you trying to prove yourself to God? Or maybe how are you trying to prove yourself to others right now? Where in your life are you trying to earn the Father's love? Because he loves you. There's nothing more that you can do to love him more, for him to love you more. He loves you no matter what. And maybe like the older son, who are some people in your life that maybe you're looking down on, that you're resenting, that you're bitter towards? that you need to forgive, but you're looking down on them like, mm-mm, nope, not them, no. They're not worthy of this. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Let's pay attention. So now let's get to the father who runs to his kids. He's the central figure of our story. What is his feel? What is he running on? Love. Love. The love that never runs out, a love that can never be exhausted. He isn't running because he feels obligated. He's running because love compels him. It's his kid. He runs to his children who are a long way from home. He runs to his children who are covered in pig poop. You guys know that he's not afraid of our messes. He's not afraid of the things that we're making a stink in life. He's not afraid of that. He's not deterred. What did he do to the son? He didn't wait for the son to clean himself up, to get, you know, get the smell off, get the gunk off, or whatever. He ran to his son. He kissed him. He embraced him. He pursues both the rebel, the religious, the runaway, the rule keeper. And he runs after his children. He runs after all of us with love and mercy, grace and truth, patience and kindness, and so much more. It's endless. He longs for his children to come home, to be with him, and to be a family together, to be restored fully as sons and daughters as he did with his younger son. He restored him to full sonship. The robe, the ring, the sandals, everything he needed. He provided everything he needed. He welcomed his son back. God is the father who runs after his kids. Here's another cool thing too. So when Jesus is telling the story, this would have been another shocking thing too, a father running after their kids. Like Middle Eastern patriarchs did not run. Like the respected men walked. Dignified men walked. So running meant that the father had to lift up his robe and show his probably pale legs, scrawny legs. I don't know, maybe not. I'm just imagining what that was looked like. But he's exposing his legs. He's losing his dignity. How could someone do that? Because he loves you that much. He doesn't care. He'll lose his dignity for you. He'll go as low as it takes. He'll do whatever it takes to bring his kids across the finish line. So the question is, will we let him? Will we let him do that? Or will we stiff arm him? Will we keep running? I want to share a story with you about a British Olympic runner named Derek Redman. While preparing for the 1988 Olympic Games in Seoul, South Korea, Derek suffered a terrible injury that led to 22 surgeries. He had one injury, 22 surgeries. After training his whole life for the Olympics, he wasn't about to let an injury prevent him from pursuing his dream. Redman qualified for the 400-meter race for the 1992 Games in Barcelona, Spain. And just to be competing in the Olympics was an amazing feat. And what I would like to do right now is actually show us that race, a clip of that race. Can you take a wild guess who that was? That was his dad. So let me ask us, how do you imagine your Heavenly Father responds when you stumble, fall, or fail? When you hit the wall, when you come up short, when you don't have anything left, what picture of God comes to mind? Do you see a father who runs toward you, like Derek's dad, but quicker than you had ever expected? Eager to pick you up and remind you that you're loved? Or do you imagine a father who is disappointed in you, ashamed of your performance, frustrated that you should have known better, embarrassed that you didn't measure up? Because some of us, maybe many of us, carry deep longings that trace back to our earthly fathers, where we long to hear the words like, I'm proud of you. You're the son I've always wanted. You're the daughter that I delight in. I love you. For some of us, those words perhaps were never spoken. For others, the person we long to hear them from is no longer here. And some fathers just didn't simply know how to give what they themselves never had. You know, even if we had a good dad, they still weren't perfect. They're not perfect like our Heavenly Father. And so God is here today to speak those words over our lives, over your lives, to heal wounds, to restore hearts, and remind us who we truly are, that we are his sons and daughters. He calls us his beloved, and he wants to help us in this race of life and all the hurdles that this life brings. He wants to help us. And the challenge is that many of us maybe struggle to hear that voice, to hear his call. Maybe we've wandered from home or running away. Maybe we've just spent our lives just not understanding God's grace, his mercy, his love, his kindness. And we just keep trying to earn something that has already been freely given to us through Jesus. Maybe it kind of scares us to even think about it. Maybe we don't want to stop and slow down and hear what he might have for us. And so the invitation for all of us today is to run home, to come home, to be with the Father, to turn from our running, our kicking, and our screaming, and entrust ourselves in the loving arms of our Heavenly Father, the prodigal father of the story. And I believe the Holy Spirit's here today not just to help us see the Father's love for his kids, but to actually experience his love for ourselves. He wants you to experience his love over you today. It's his love that heals, it frees us up, his love that forgives, and his love that restores us. The Spirit is here to fuel us with the Father's love for this marathon of life that we're in. The Spirit is here to fill us so that we can share the Father's love and welcome others into his house, into his home. And the finish line is the loving embrace of the Father, being welcomed into his home. That's the end goal. That's the end of the race, where we're welcomed into his home. Through Jesus, we can have that, the loving embrace of the Father. So what I'd like for us to do right now is to pause and to, if you would, put ourselves in a posture of receiving from the Father, trusting what the Scripture tells us is true, trusting the Father's heart, the Father that we saw in the story. That's God. That's God and his heart for each and every one of us.